Caribbean radio at its best. This is VOC Radio, voice of the Caribbean radio.
This is Let's Talk St. Kitts Nevis here on Voice of the Caribbean Radio at voiceofthecaribbean.net. I'm your host, Andre Huey. On this week's edition of Let's Talk St. Kitts Nevis, we'll hear from former Chief Medical Officer Dr. Patrick Martin. We spoke on a wide range of issues, including should the COVID-19 restrictions that are currently stand at our borders at the RLB International Airport and the ports of entry in St. Kitts Nevis, should those measures be lifted, considering that COVID-19, for the most part, have been under control in St. Kitts Nevis, and the country has one of the highest vaccination rates in the Caribbean. In addition to that, there have been calls from some of the political parties and leaders for those measures to be lifted, as they could be used, as that could be used as a measure, and they're accusing the government or the Prime Minister of wanting to use that as a restrictive measure, preventing overseas voters from coming in who may support the opposition. Plus, we'll be getting some reports from SK Newsline as we look at the election campaigning going on by the five political parties in St. Kitts and Nevis. We'll present reports that give you some of what they have been saying on the platform. All that on this week's edition of Let's Talk St. Kitts and Nevis. But first, we'll take a break and be right back.
Voice of the Caribbean Radio, VOC Radio. Stay locked on.
It's the new and improved SK Newsline Android mobile app. With the SK Newsline app, you can watch your news reports, the SK Newsline newscast, sports, special features, and so much more. You can also send us a WhatsApp or call us directly. Go in the Google Play Store, search SK Newsline, and download the app today. The SK Newsline mobile app. News on the go.
Online radio has never been this great. It's Voice of the Caribbean Radio at voiceofthecaribbean.net. Tune into Voice of the Caribbean Radio for great Caribbean programs, news, entertainment, sports, and current affairs. Wake up each morning and be inspired with One Day at a Time with Kim Huey. Stay abreast with news across the Caribbean and internationally with the Caribbean News Hour, and be entertained with shows like Reggaeville, Caribbean Classics, and Jive Music Show. Visit our website, download our Android mobile app, or listen us on TuneIn Radio. There is so much more on Voice of the Caribbean Radio, reaching the Caribbean and beyond. Check website or app for program schedule.
Want to buy some fresh fruits, vegetables, or ground provision, but don't have the time to go to the market or even to find parking? Look no further. Green Market and Delivery is your solution. Green Market and Delivery is an e-commerce store that sells and delivers local produce to customers in St. Kitts and Nevis. Anything you purchase, you can get fresh from the market and delivered directly to your door. Log on to www.greenmarketskn.com. Click on the e-store link, choose your items, and shop away. We have a wide array of products from fruits, vegetables, local products, spices and seasonings, and much more. Save time and energy. Shop on greenmarketskn.com, your one-stop shop for fresh local produce.
Stay abreast with news on St. Martin with SMN News. Visit www.smn-news.com for up-to-date news, scoops, opinions, and hard-hitting facts. SMN News, we tell it like it is. Visit our website, www.smn-news.com.
If you're looking for a place to host that special event, conference, meeting, social event, party, whatever the occasion, your best option is the Millhouse Convention Center in Palmetto Point, St. Kitts. Located on the picturesque Garvey's Estate, the Millhouse Guesthouse Convention Center has enough space for outdoor events overlooking the Caribbean Sea. If you're looking indoors, the center is equipped with amenities needed to make your event a success. And by combining both spaces, you're sure to have a memorable event, no matter the occasion. Call the offices at Millhouse Guesthouse and Convention Center to book your next event on simply the most beautiful place in St. Kitts. Call 668-1392. Millhouse Convention Center at Garvey's Estate, Palmetto Point, St. Kitts, making your event memorable. Auto Plus Car Wash, located on the Collins Street Gut, Bastyr, St. Kitts. Bring your car to Auto Plus Car Wash to remove water stains, wiper marks. Get your doors, roof panel cleaned, seat floor mats, buffing, headlights, and engine wash. You get quality service at the best price at Auto Plus Car Wash. They really care for your car. Call 765-5140 or visit them on the Collins Street Gut, Bastyr, St. Kitts. Auto Plus Car Wash, where service is number one.
The voice of the Caribbean Radio.
Welcome back to Let's Talk St. Kitts Nevis. As promised you, we now have an interview. We'll head into a pre-recorded interview we did with former Chief Medical Officer Dr. Patrick Martin.
Let's start with this stealth Omicron. That has certainly been getting some attention of late, and especially in the U.S., where it is said, based on some reports, that it is highly transmissible. It is increasing the number of cases in the U.S. And there is also some concerns that it is evading immunity. Your thoughts from your observations?
There isn't any stealth Omicron from a scientific standpoint. This is another Omicron variant that we now up to five subvariants of Omicron. Each subvariant has a change in the genetic sequence. And so with each change, the immune system has to adapt and respond. And adaptation will take weeks, days or weeks. In the meantime, those persons who are particularly vulnerable will become infected and reinfected.
No, I was going to make the point, and by being vulnerable, you're referring to persons who have weakened immune systems or are unvaccinated.
Weakened immune systems. What this pandemic is showing us that, yes, pharmaceutical measures are fine and non-SAP pharmaceutical measures are fine, but in the final analysis, is your state of health. That's what matters most.
So in other words, then, even as, you know, there are concerns in some medical circles, we shouldn't be too concerned. Just continue what we have been doing.
The United States has situations that we don't have. There is a situation of health disparity in the United States where persons living in certain conditions are worse off. And we don't have time now to go into that, but the evidence out of the United States is clear that it's persons who are working, living and working in poorly ventilated areas, in areas where there's little access to fresh food. Those persons have been particularly hit hard.
Mm-hmm. Now, there have been some calls lately for lifting, and probably will be more calls in the next few days, of lifting of the measures, the COVID restrictions that the government has put in place for persons coming into the country. You have to be vaccinated, and of course you have a negative PCR test, etc., etc. A lot of countries around the world and in the Caribbean have been dropping some of these measures. Some have dropped them totally. Is it time now that St. Kitts and Nevis remove these restrictive measures?
Yes, and we are late. The Prime Minister and persons high in the hierarchy of NIOC continue to say we have the best COVID response in the world. So if we have the best COVID response in the world, why are we late? We have a favorable level of immunity contributed by infection and vaccination. Let's follow the science. It is my view that the continuation of the border restrictions is not governed by science, but it's being governed by a narrow calculation.
And that is not the case here in St. Kitts Nevis, where we have these measures currently.
Measures are required to be useful, necessary, and proportionate. That's what happens in a nation of laws. Things must be governed. There must be good reason, good evidence. There is no good evidence to keep the borders restrictions in place. There's no good evidence to isolate an infected, vaccinated person who has no symptoms for 14 days. I heard of a case of that. And there's no reason to send an entire class home because one child got infected. I heard of a recent case of that. Back in zero COVID days when we didn't understand how the virus behaves and we had low levels of immunity, fine, but not now. Now we are living with COVID. Now we are living with COVID.
No need even for a PCR test then, or any form of test whatsoever.
You cannot stop the Omicron variant by testing. By the time you test one person in a classroom, the entire classroom has been exposed, and probably the whole school. We are now 2 years and 6 months into the pandemic. All of us in St. Kitts and Nevis have been exposed, not once, not twice, not three times, four times, and probably five times. Having said that, I support testing for persons who are symptomatic and who are not handling it well. You need to test those because you want to sequence that particular variant to see if we're dealing with one of the known variants. So testing should be restricted to symptomatic persons who are sick enough to be hospitalized.
How do you do that though? Because if we have accepted the fact that we have to live with COVID, who is monitoring who to determine whether or not they have the symptoms? Or unless someone shows up to the hospital or medical center to say, well, I feel like I want to be tested.
But that is what living with COVID means. Living with COVID is like living with the flu, living with common cold, living with dengue. If you're sick enough to reach an hospital, you'll be tested. Otherwise than that, no need to expend precious resources. You notice our death rate has remained at 43, which is a very, very low death rate, which suggests that we have favorable levels of immunity. We have to stop being scared of COVID. We have to be more scared now about antimicrobial resistance, meaning bacteria and viruses that are resistant to our medications. That's what we need to be focusing on now, and some other stuff that I hope we'll talk about.
Well, that takes me to the next point of how do we live with COVID? Now, you gave me some examples there, but generally speaking, we hear the term, well, we have to live with COVID. It is here with us. It's going to be here with us. How then do we live with COVID from this point onwards?
There should be a massive public information campaign paid for by the Treasury with radio and television and social media spots, gently advising the public as to how to stay healthy. Our school curriculum, likewise. And also making sure the vaccine stocks are adequate. Check, that's a check mark. We have adequate stocks of medications used to treat persons who become sick. We have had adequate stocks of prednisolone since before the pandemic started. I think I'm here when we have adequate stocks of antiviral medications. We really have to move on.
That though, just segue now into some other matters, Dr. Martin. Of course, you know, we're now in the throes of an election, unplanned, but it is what it is. So we hear a lot of talk about healthcare on both sides, what the government said that they have been doing for healthcare and what the opposition sides are saying is a failure on the part of government as it relates to healthcare. From your vantage point and knowing what you know of the public healthcare system in St. Kitts Nevis up to the point when you left, how healthy, lack of a better word, no pun intended, is our healthcare system in St. Kitts and Nevis?
Healthcare is about people serving people. Healthcare is not only about equipment. Healthcare is fundamentally about people serving people. The people who are doing the serving, they are called care providers, essential frontline workers. They are not having a good time. There is considerable concern about their working conditions and how they're treated. Rates of pay are in the mix.
So you're saying low staff morale is an issue as it stands?
Yes, but that is a function of mismanagement and mistreatment of workers.
Give me some practical examples of what you're referring to.
The evidence lies in the complaints being registered now publicly by our healthcare workers. The evidence also lies in the fact that there is a significant shortage of nurses. I don't know if the public is aware of a nurse recruitment and retention initiative as robustly funded as the Peace Initiative.
Well, the Peace Initiative in and of itself needs some transparency as well. We don't even know how much money is being spent there.
There you go. So that's good governance, right? Good governance is about transparency, accountability, people participating in decisions, rule of law. We do not have good health governance as we became accustomed, as we once knew it.
What would it take? Well, that's the moral.
One other point.
Yes.
The health of a health system, the biggest indicator of the ill health of a health system is the attrition rate, meaning the number of good persons who walk away. And there's an issue there too.
Which takes me to the next point, though. What are some of the other things, other than just the human resource issue? We hear a lot of times of people talking about going to the hospital and certain machinery not working or persons left unattended. What are some of these? And were these issues rife towards the time when you were there, or towards the end of the time you were at the hospital and the public health system?
Well, I sometimes pause to when I'm asked these quiet questions to assess how things were when I was connected. You know, I prefer if there's an independent assessment, but I get from your question that there were less complaints.
Well, I just want to get an insight. I just want to get an insight into what actually existed before and what, from what you know, exists there now.
Oh, what we existed before? The administration of the public health system started not with the minister. The minister is the political policy director. But administration of the public health system starts with the permanent secretary and heads of department. If you have those positions populated by competent people, you will have less complaints.
So in other words, you're suggesting that persons who are functioning in those roles are not competent at the moment, or are not qualified to...
There has been a cleansing, quote-unquote, a cleansing of the Ministry of Health in St. Kitts of competent people. Hmm. People who had institutional memory. And so the complaints have piled up.
Now,
running a health system, let's just look at hospital. Hospital is only one part of the health system. You have community health, you have environmental health, etc. Running, well, let's look at the whole Ministry of Health. The Ministry of Health has many moving parts. The Ministry of Health is the most complex government ministry. Look, just looking at the human resource profile and the equipment profile is the most complex. Running a hospital now, it requires persons who are trained in hospital management or health services management. We have moved past the days of a hospital being run as a government department. We moved past that stage in the late 1990s. We are behind. Hospital management needs to be corporatized. Independent professional people running it on a day-to-day basis with a board of directors, with the chairman of the, with the board of directors accountable to the minister. There is where we need to go soonest.
And of course, if in your view, if that happens, then all the issues that we're experiencing with equipment, with human resource, etc., would be solved, or at least better dealt with.
Well, that's utopia, but they will be better dealt with. We saw what happened when electricity supply moved from a government department to a corporation called Skelec and Nevlec. We saw what happened when telephone services moved from a government department to Scantel, now Flo.
But
if you put competent persons to work and give them the independence to work and with adequate resources, we'll get better services tomorrow.
But let me ask this though. Yes, it's one on one hand, and that's probably one of the reasons why in some jurisdictions you don't have a private run healthcare system to serve the public. On one hand, you could have better service. On the other hand, you have the issue of affordability, because of course in a private setting they're going to run it for profitability, and that might in some instances put persons who can't afford healthcare, quality healthcare, out of reach.
Correct. So our history, our legacy is one of publicly funded healthcare services, and that will not change, at least not in the foreseeable future, definitely not in your lifetime, Andre, and I know you plan to live to 105. All right? Nevertheless, there is room for private practitioners, and there's already significant contribution from private practitioners. You know, because a government cannot be all things to all people. And so there is room for private practices and definitely room for public-private partnerships. The first public-private partnership in St. Kitts and Nevis, from recollection, was the Rams eye clinic. And then there's also a partnership with a group out of the United States in Nevis, at the Nevis Hospital, in terms of eye care. And then the first CT scan was a partnership between the Ministry of Health and the Perot Group out of Guadeloupe. So we've been there. Those of us with the institutional memory, we have the understanding of how we got to that point. But some of us were cleansed from the ministry.
Interesting term, cleansed. My last question, as relates to healthcare, we hear a lot of promises on the campaign trail about what is going to be done, building a new hospital, et cetera, from all sides. How realistic, considering what we're faced with as a country, considering also the challenges that we're faced with globally, which are also impacting St. Kitts and Nevis, how realistic are some of these promises being fulfilled? What will it take, and how long will it take to see some of the developments that are needed for healthcare?
Well, you asked me a straight question. I'll try to give you a straight answer, because some of the promises are being made by friends of mine, of various political stripes. And so we have arguments, sorry, we have conversations about the promises. And my view is you ought not promise unless you know how much it's going to cost. A new hospital, a new JNF, a new 100, but we don't need a 150-bed hospital in Syracuse. We need 100-bed. A new 100-bed hospital is going to cost in the vicinity of $75, $80 million. I am
for dollars, right? You're talking about EC dollars.
EC dollars. Mm-hmm. I am for retrofitting the current structure and keeping it maintained within a hospital corporation structure. But hospital care is only one part of healthcare. Hospital care is more expensive than community care. A strong health system works to keep people out of hospital. A strong health system invests in good services, strong services in health centers, and works in partnership with private practitioners to keep people healthy and out of hospital. I believe it is a mistake to focus on hospital only. The way in which obesity, cancer, kidney failure, addictions, motor vehicle accidents, the way in which those challenges are going, we are now at maybe $180 million per year to pay for all those services. Right now, we are paying about $75 million for public health care in both islands combined. $75 million. $75 million right now, where we're supposed to be closer to $180 million. Because people are asking for all of the bells and whistles, right? MRI, ability to go on an air ambulance if services are not here, specialists for your right foot, specialists for your left foot, So to pay for all those things right now, it's $180 million budget. And that figure is, sorry, not 180, $150 million. And that figure came out of a study done in 2005, the Caribbean Commission for Health and Development. So George Alleen led that commission. And it found that to have a strong public health system, you need to spend 6% of GDP minimum. So 6% of St. Kitts and Nevis's GDP, based on the 2019 GDP, 6% is $150 million. Sorry about the 180. $150 million minimum to pay for well-trained, motivated, quality-driven technicians, technologists, therapists, nurses, doctors, dentists, chiropractors, foot care specialists, skin care specialists, exercise therapists, physiotherapists, occupational therapists, mental health professionals of all classes, and we are way behind on that, that department. So how are we going to pay for that $150 million? So this is my question to my friends of all political stripes when they make promises. But Andre, how to pay for public services?
Increase taxes or introduce new taxes.
not really increase, but they are paid from taxes. Mm-hmm. So the type of healthcare promises that are being made will require will require a serious and urgent examination of the tax structure to pay for that. Now, there are some persons who say, wait a minute. Why not pay for it out of citizenship by investment? And so the response to that is, what do we do when the citizenship by investment crashes? If the money coming in is not meeting your expenses, then what are you going to do? Invade Europe? There's a history to this of European and other persons putting bones in our rice and pepper in our soup when we appear to be doing well. It started with cotton back in the 1600s. Mm-hmm. Sorry, not cotton, tobacco. West Indian tobacco doing well. Somebody floods the market with tobacco. We have to stop because we are a small producer. Same thing happened with cotton. Same thing happened with bananas. Well, with sugar.
With sugar.
Mm-hmm. And
bananas.
And,
well, not here. But
So mm-hmm. bananas came under similar tack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we appear to have a crop or an industry that we appear to be competitive at, somebody in Europe or European connected tries to destroy it. Mm-hmm. This is the reason why we cannot go forward as St. Kitts and Nevis. You have to go forward as OECS/CARICOM.
Agreed.
And wider. So sometimes, let's come back around to promises. I take a deep breath when I hear promises being made, because when the election is won, governing is a totally different kettle of fish to campaigning.
Have we not learned that, though, Dr. Martin? I mean, as in the electorate, we've seen elections after elections after elections, and we see the same thing happen on either side, and we still somehow fall for it every election.
There are matters having to do with climate change and its effects, which are already felt on our air quality and water. There are matters having to do with people suffering, experiencing reactions to imported food that is stocked full of chemicals, and they reach into hospital with ailments, and sometimes it's difficult to figure out what's going on because of the multiplicity of chemicals in the imported food and some beverages. I already spoke to you about the matter raised by Prime Minister Mia Mottley. What a visionary. She raised the matter of antimicrobial resistance, which is a looming pandemic, etc. So we're going to have a good music festival. It's good for the economy. But after the partying is over, we have some serious work to do called elections of the next government.
That's former Chief Medical Officer Dr. Patrick Martin. You're listening to Les Talks in Kisnevis here on Voice of the Caribbean Radio. We'll take a break and be right back.
Simply the best sound in Caribbean radio. This is VOC Radio.
I'm Making It Happen with Nicole Tyson every Tuesday at 11 a.m. with a rebroadcast at 4 p.m. Get insightful information with interesting guests from the U.S. Virgin Islands each and every week. I'm Making It Happen with Nicole Tyson every Tuesday at 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. on Voice of the Caribbean Radio, reaching the Caribbean and beyond.
Nestled between evergreen mountains and the Caribbean Sea on the island of St. Kitts is the Millhouse Guest House and Convention Center. With breathtaking views, a rugged, beautiful shoreline, and immaculate manicured gardens, make this the perfect location for your holiday, event, or wedding. With a large convention center, apartments with balconies providing stunning views, and a secluded cottage for larger family groups or honeymooning couples looking for some privacy. We have something for everyone. Book your stay at www.milhousesknn.com or visit our Facebook page, the Millhouse Guest House and Convention Center, an oasis of tranquility.
Hey, it's John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, and it's The Entrepreneurial You, the show for dedicated and passionate Caribbean entrepreneurs seeking daily inspiration, brought to you by author, speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur, Henneka Watkiss Porter. You must be prepared to ignite.
The Entrepreneurial You. Wednesdays at 11 a.m. with a rebroadcast at 4 p.m. on Voice of the Caribbean Radio. Reaching the Caribbean and beyond.
For all your printing needs at top-notch quality, go to Digital Print Plus, located on Princess Street, Bastia, St. Kitts. At Digital Print Plus, you get the best in business cards, letterheads, envelopes, wristbands, tent cards, rack cards, flyers, brochures, logo designs, posters, photos, architectural designs, 3D renderings, and so much more. Digital Print Plus gives you the best quality at competitive prices. Contact us at 767-7468 or email digitalprintskn@gmail.com or follow us on Facebook at digitalprintskn. Digital Print Plus, for all your printing needs at the best quality.
You're listening to Voice of the Caribbean Radio at voiceofthecaribbean.net.
Welcome back. As I said earlier in the show, we're going to be now presenting some reports from our sister news organization, SKN Newsline, reports that I would have done, as well as Glenn Bart, on what are some of the things that have been said on the political platform, including the controversial prison that is going to be built over in the rural area of St. Kitts, using a model where CBI money will be raised to help to build that prison. That is part of the various reports that we're about to present to you from SKN Newsline.
The leader of the St. Kitts Nevis Labour Party is warning citizens of a possible threat to democracy as he called again for government authorities to end travel restrictions for overseas nationals. SKNLP leader Dr. Terence Drew believes that PLP Prime Minister Dr. Timothy Harris intends to orchestrate the blocking of nationals who want to travel to St. Kitts and Nevis by manipulating the approval process. It should be noted that CCM's leader Mark Brantley had publicly stated that the PLP Prime Minister had made an attempt to disenfranchise overseas voters, but it was blocked because CCM threatened to withdraw from the Team Unity cabinet. On 22nd June, at a Labour Party press conference, Dr. Drew spoke of his and his party's concern.
We know what the government is up to, and we are not saying this based on just political expediency. It is experience that we went through, not just as a party, but as a country. And so I don't trust Timothy Harris. He has a cabinet of three operating like a dictator. People in other countries are asking, what is it wrong with people in St. Kitts that a man can act like a dictator in a democracy and the people are not rising up? This is serious business here. A government has fallen and COVID is used as a pretext. So I'm not going through any willy-dilly with Timothy Harris. We are saying that there is no scientific basis, no economic basis to shut our people out. And we know he's planning to use it, so I'm not going to pretend and go through any type of a round way to come to the direct point that we are saying to follow other progressive countries throughout the Caribbean and throughout the world. Just recently, you know, the United States has dropped the COVID the test to travel to the United States. They've gone as far as that. But in St. Kitts, a national who wants to come home still have to go take a test, whether they're vaccinated or not, send it to St. Kitts for them to give approval. United States had moved on from that. I'm using the United States because sometimes it's used at the standard that our region might look at.
While other Caribbean and international countries have removed travel restrictions into their countries, St. Kitts and Nevis, with a high vaccination level, is holding on to the policy. According to Dr. Drew, there is no scientific reason to do so. Prime Minister Dr. Timothy Harris has described criticism over a new correctional facility as hot air and propaganda by two former cabinet ministers. At a 29 June cabinet press conference, Prime Minister Harris responded to questions over the recently started construction of the prison facility funded under the Citizenship by Investment Program. The Prime Minister said the two former ministers had no issue with the project when it was approved in cabinet.
What you have here is a lot of propaganda, hot air, with no meaning and no real rationale to them. The two persons who are leading in questioning the new correctional facility are really were two senior members of the cabinet who sat, considered the documentation presented by the technical team at Skipper and the CIU. In fact, at one of the sitting of the cabinet, Lescan, the CEO, was there, and I think Mrs. Freitz. Questions were asked and answered. And everyone in the cabinet approved the project.
According to the Prime Minister, the $2 billion cost to construct the prison referred to by the PAM and CCM leaders is just a story, and there is no cost to the country to construct the facility.
A private party, a citizen of St. Kitts and Nevis to the economic citizenship route, came forward with a proposal to finance the construction of the prison, and the government agreed. Mark Brantley agreed, Sean Richards agreed to the proposal. This $2 billion story is just that, a story. It has no meaning. It has no meaning. For the record, this facility will cost the taxpayer of St. Kitts and Nevis not 1 cent. There is no cost to the country of building it. We are not investing in it. We will own it when the construction of it is completed. What we have paid so far, we paid Stacey Hobson just over $2 million for developing the design of the prison. And we insisted that the developer will build the prison in accordance with the specifications developed and approved by the building board.
However, it must be noted that both Sean Richards and Mark Brantley have indicated publicly that they had approved and supported the project. Their contention now is that the project has been elevated to high priority in a post-COVID-19 environment and believe other cabinet-approved projects should have been given higher priority.
The People's Labour Party opened two constituency offices this week as it ramps up its preparation in the lead-up to the elections. On Thursday, the party hosted a public meeting in constituency number 2 to launch the constituency office there, known as the Vision Centre. Candidate for that constituency is Nubian Grayo. He spoke to plans to advance the peace initiative in his constituency and to sustain STEP and PAP programmes.
It is a vote to keep the STEP. It is a vote to keep and improve the peace programme. Don't let Labour put these programs at risk in time of international uncertainty. There is global inflation, a war in Ukraine, a shortage of food globally. Only by voting PLP and maintaining the leadership of Dr. Timothy Harris can these programs be preserved and improved upon.
Earlier this week, candidate for constituency number 5 for the PLP, Stacia Williams, at the launch of his Vision Centre in Sandy Point, spoke to plans to provide economic opportunities to his constituents if elected.
That is what this Vision Centre that we're launching here tonight is about. And I pledge to establish locally funded social programs so that together our people can pursue a zero poverty agenda. I want to pause and talk about that for a moment. When I say zero poverty, I mean every household, every single household in Fig Tree, La Valley, Sandy Point must have the basic things they need to survive, to put food on their table, because we understand that these are difficult times. We understand what it takes, and so our PLP government will deliver that. And I pledge I pledge to our people that we can develop programs to assist the most vulnerable in our community. My vision, with your help, we can start to address the mental health issues that were brought on by the pandemic. We can start to ensure that the people who are suffering with mental illnesses can access the help they need right here in Sandy Point. We want to enable the young women to gain work, re-enter education, or learn new skills so that they can help and provide food for their families. That is what this vision is all about. We're talking about protecting our people by having support for the elderly.
About 2 weeks ago, in a grand public meeting at the Greenlands Pasture, the PLP launched all 8 candidates contesting the upcoming elections on St. Kitts.
Remarks made by Prime Minister Dr. Timothy Harris at a 29 June press conference has prompted a response from Spencer Brand of the Nevis Island Administration, who described the Prime Minister's remarks as misleading. At the time, the Prime Minister was commenting on the Citizenship by Investment program and the construction of a correctional facility on St. Kitts under the CBI's alternative investment option. The Prime Minister was making the point that Premier Mark Brantley is aware of how the alternative option works, since he has a member in the CBI program who is also in the NIA's cabinet.
A member of the Mark Brantley's cabinet, Spencer Brand, is also a developer in the CBI program. And Spencer Brand project came to the cabinet, supported by the NIA, for us to give them shares. Is it that the government then is funding Spencer Brand project? I think it's about, what, $44 million US? Is it that the federal government will take up nearly $120 million EC to fund Spencer Brand project? Or Spencer Brand will go around the world, find people, find interested people. So they understand how it works. They understand there is no cost to the government and the country, because right in their cabinet is a member participating in the program.
However, Mr. Brand has taken offense of the remarks, indicating that the Prime Minister has given the impression that his involvement in a CBI project commenced under the Mark Brantley's administration and since he became an elected member of the NIA. Mr. Brand responded with an audio recording placed on social media and on YouTube.
The Prime Minister has given the impression and sought to mislead the nation that this is a project that was only being submitted and approved since I became a sitting minister of the NIA, and since Mark Anthony Graham Brantley became the Premier of Nevis. This is the furthest thing from the truth. This was a development that had the approval of the NIA since the 12th of November 2014, and the federal government in principle since the 27th of November 2015. Approval for this project was granted from the NIA some 3 years before I became a sitting minister in the NIA, and from the federal government in principle some 2 years before I came an elected member in the NIA. This is a 70-room hotel project with a conference room, a gym, a spa, a restaurant, a club, a deli, a mini-mart with swimming pool and parking. This is a development expected to provide employment for over 70-plus persons on completion. However, my wife and I have been unable to attract any investors to the project because we need to sell the shares at the full statutory authorized price in order to raise the capital necessary to construct the hotel. This is so because various schemes that appear to have the full support of the Harris government and the CBI theme have resulted in the sale of shares at a price well below the statutory authorized price of $200,000 or US$175,000 for the alternative investment option.
The People's Labour Party and the St. Kitts Nevis Labour Party have been trading barbs over the future of the Poverty Alleviation Programme, PAP. On Sunday, during the opening of the PLP Constituency 8 office in St. Peter's, PLP candidate Andrew Talbot Bass declare that a vote for the St. Kitts Nevis Labour Party is a vote to end the PAP.
But let's be clear, this election really matters. Labour wants to scrap the PAP PLP will increase it from the 1st of September.
But the Labour Party has since said they would improve the program rather than end it. Speaking on a social media show, The Real Right, with host EK on Tuesday, Dr. Drew said if elected, a Labour Party administration would make alterations to improve the PAP and rebrand it as MEND.
And EK, while I'm talking about the cost of living and the economy, I want to touch on the issue of the PAP. I want to say to the people of St. Kitts and Nevis that the St. Kitts and Nevis Labour Party will not end the intention of what the PAP is. That is not going to happen. We have a program called the MEND, and we are going to challenge the PLP who are suggesting that we want to end PAP. Tell them that we started the PAP, but we didn't call it a poverty program. We call it MEND, because, and now we are saying we're going to mend the PAP. And out there we said that people did not even know, because we did not bring people into the square and said these are people living in poverty, and to display them before the world. We right. found who these people were, and we went to them. We had the schools and so forth submitting the names that we could have gone to them. Look at your situation. Your situation will be evaluated, EK. So if we have somebody living in St. Peter's, and we know that they might be going through struggles, a single mother, especially single mothers. You know, I have a special place in my heart for single mothers, because I grew up with a single grandmother and partly with my single mother and so forth, and I understand the struggle. And that is why I'm working so hard to make sure that these families will not suffer, because most households are headed by single mothers. And if you help these households, you would have helped the country completely, and we can eradicate poverty.
Tackling the water problem in constituency number 8 continues to be a major plank of the upcoming election. People's Action Movement candidate Chesley Hamilton is proposing a policy where a system will be put in place on each house in the constituency to capture rainwater. He was speaking at the People's Action Movement public meeting in Cairn on Sunday.
We are simply saying to you, where water is a problem, you have to practice conservation. So we must begin to capture water off of the roofs. Your government with a policy that has no such policy is a government without a vision. No foresight. Every one of those roofs, your government is duty bound to help you put Eastraff on them. Whether it means duty free, whether it means let NAC come and put it on all of them roofs, something has to be done in terms of policy so that we can have water catchment. Whether it means a cistern, whether it means the black tank them, it must be done. Because water is a problem. Let us start there. Look around. Tell me how many of these buildings you see have on East Drive. And we're talking about water is a problem. And water didn't just go down in the drain and back down the river, back into the sea. And we ain't even want to talk about desalination.
Due to low rainfall, several communities across St. Kitts, and most notably in the St. Christopher No. 8 constituency, have been suffering from low water supply. Some communities go days without water or lose water supply at nights due to water rationing. The Water Services Department has been encouraging households to conserve on water. The government said it is exploring new wells with water exploration company Bede, but the opposition has argued that an arrangement was already in place with Bede but was discontinued by the government. Andre Huey, SKN Newsline. The Nevis Reformation Party is arguing that it did better with loans it acquired while in government on the island level than the Concerned Citizens Movement did with $400 million from the federal government. The NRP hosted a public meeting in Cotton Ground on the weekend. Candidate for number 10, Ron Isles, made the point of the platform.
We got a loan as opposed to $400 million free money, if you want to call it that. But the man who was responsible for the loan did 100 times better than the people who got 400 million. You see, this man revolutionized housing across Nevis. This man built community centers across Nevis to empower our people. This man went to bat for us in as far as the United States to ensure that our largest economic contributor, Four Seasons, came back home to handle their business. And that me and you and you, and our mother and our father and our sister and our brother and our uncle and our aunts and our cousins can have employment. This man revolutionized how we look at the economy. Because before Barack Obama spoke about that wonderful stimulus package. Our, let me say, NRP's second leader introduced that. He's the one who kept Nevis afloat in a recession. And he did that with no CBI money. That is leadership.
Nevis's share of receipts from the Citizenship by Investment program has been a major talking point in this election. It is one of the areas of disagreement between the Concerned Citizens Movement of Premier Mark Brantley and Prime Minister Dr. Timothy Harris, which had helped led to the breakup of Team Unity. Andre Huey, SKN Newsline.
CCM candidate for Nevis 11, Alexis Jeffers, called on his audience to support the CCM in the upcoming general elections so they could continue the fight for CCM's development agenda for Nevis. According to Jeffers, the CCM has always had the people of Nevis at the center of their policies, including the need for the island to obtain its fair and equitable share from the national assets sold under the Citizenship by Investment program. He explained that more can be done for the people of Nevis, and he intends to bring about greater development for Nevis 11.
We are saying to the people of Jessops and the people of Nevis that we are going back to Bastia to continue that fight on your behalf. You invested in us in 2020, in 9, 10, and 11, three seats never before in the history of Nevis. You invested in us, and your investment has paid dividends. Further investment will be made in us, and we'll go back and continue that fight on your behalf. And I'll say to you that there's work to be done on the island of Nevis. That is why we say we need money. We need our fair share. And no one in St. Kitts should think that we are out of place to ask for our fair share. We are one country. And whatever is brought into Bastia, it is to the benefit of St. Kitts. It is to the benefit of Nevis. It is to the benefit of the Federation of St. Kitts and Nevis. So here's what I'll say to you. All young men and young women have been clamoring for housing. About 3 years ago, we borrowed $25 million from the Social Security Board. I have said to the people of Jessops, I've said to the people of St. Thomas's and throughout the entire island of Nevis that we are going to bring housing to you. And here's how. I've said to the Premier that once we receive our fair share out of Bastia, I need another $25 million. We are not going to borrow it from the Social Security this time. We were able to do those mortgages at just a mere 5% interest. Persons are now paying between $900 to $1,200 a month. I believe if we are taking monies that we receive as our fair share, we can bring that interest rate down. We can bring those payments down. And I want to do that throughout the entire island of Nevis.
Both parties have been campaigning hard for the attention of the electorate on the island. Glenn Bart reporting for SKN Newsline.
You have been listening to Let's Start Sinking Nevis here on Voice of the Caribbean Radio at voiceofthecaribbean.net. And that you just heard were some highlights of the various political meetings happening here in St. Kitts and Nevis. Well, I was your host, Andre Huey, and that's how we end today's edition of the show. I want to thank all those who tuned in. And remember, you can listen to the show again on Wednesday and Friday at 10 a.m. And you can also listen on demand by visiting our website, voiceofthecaribbean.net, and clicking on the Voice of the Caribbean or radio, listen to our programs on demand. You can click on that tab and it takes you to all our programs, that original programs that we air here on Voice of the Caribbean Radio, including today's episode of Let's Talk St. Kitts Nevis. Thanks again for listening and stay tuned to Voice of the Caribbean Radio, reaching the Caribbean and beyond.
Voice of the Caribbean Radio, VOC Radio. Stay locked on.
It's the new and improved SKN Newsline Android mobile app. With the SKN Newsline app, you can watch your news reports, the SKN Newsline newscast, sports, special features, and so much more. You can also send us a WhatsApp or call us directly. Go in the Google Play Store, search SKN Newsline, and download the app today. The SKN Newsline mobile app. News on the go.
Online radio has never been this great. It's Voice of the Caribbean Radio at voiceofthecaribbean.net. Tune into Voice of the Caribbean Radio for great Caribbean programs, news, entertainment, sports, and current affairs. Wake up each morning and be inspired with One Day at a Time with Kim Huey. stay abreast with news across the Caribbean and internationally with the Caribbean News Hour and be entertained with shows like Reggaeville, Caribbean Classics, and Jive Music Show. Visit our website, download our Android mobile app, or listen us on TuneIn Radio. There is so much more on Voice of the Caribbean Radio, reaching the Caribbean and beyond. Check website or app for program schedule.
Want to buy some fresh fruits, vegetables, or ground provision, but don't have the time to go to the market or even to find parking? Look no further. Green Market and Delivery is your solution. Green Market and Delivery is an e-commerce store that sells and delivers local produce to customers in St. Kitts and Nevis. Anything you purchase, you can get fresh from the market and delivered directly to your door. Log on to www.greenmarketskn.com. Click on the e-store link, choose your items, and shop away. We have a wide array of products from fruits, vegetables, local products, spices and seasonings, and much more. Save time and energy. Shop on greenmarketskn.com, your one-stop shop for fresh local produce.
Stay abreast with news on St. Martin with SMN News. Visit www.smn-news.com for up-to-date news, scoops, opinions, and hard-hitting facts. SMN News, we tell it like it is. Visit our website, www.smn-news.com.
If you're looking for a place to host that special event, conference, meeting, social event, party, whatever the occasion, your best option is the Millhouse Convention Center, Palmetto Point, St. Kitts. Located on the picturesque Garvey's Estate, the Millhouse Guesthouse Convention Center has enough space for outdoor events overlooking the Caribbean Sea. If you're looking indoors, the center is equipped with amenities needed to make your event a success. And by combining both spaces, you're sure to have a memorable event, no matter the occasion. Call the offices at Millhouse Guest House and Convention Center to book your next event on simply the most beautiful place in St. Kitts. Call 668-1392. Millhouse Convention Center at Garvey's Estate, Palmetto Point, St. Kitts. Making your event memorable.
Auto Plus Car Wash, located on the Collins Street Gut, Bastyr, St. Kitts. Bring your car to Auto Plus Car Wash to remove water stains, wiper marks. Get your doors, roof panel cleaned, seat floor mats, buff in, headlights, and engine wash. You get quality service at the best price at Auto Plus Car Wash. They really care for your car. Call 765-5140 or visit them on the Collins Street Gut, Bastyr, St. Kitts. Auto Plus Car Wash, where the service is number one.
The Voice of the Caribbean Radio.